in this life. Number one, self-reformation, self-refinement and self-building, the building of your spiritual power. Number two, reforming and reshaping our families. And the third goal is reforming and restructuring our communities and our societies. These three goals are interlinked and they are intertwined. Many of you at this very last night of this commemoration would ask yourself, why did I come to these sessions? What did this day or this event of Muharram or Ashura, how did it benefit me? Did I really benefit from it? Or it was just waste of time for me? I know many of you came here for 11 nights. You never missed any night. Ask yourself, what was the purpose? What was the goal? What is the outcome? And what is the achievement? In nutshell, the sessions of Ashura everywhere in this universe, they aim as an incentive, an impetus, a catalyst for change. Maybe the change does not happen overnight. Maybe you are not going to see any radical changes in your lifestyle within these 10 days. But you have to realize that this is just stimulating to you. The sessions of Ashura are incentives for change. It's an eye-opening to see your way in this life, to reorganize your priorities in this life. And therefore, you have to continue the road. Ashura does not end tonight. These sessions do not stop tonight. You have to continue. You have to continue. They prompt you to think about your future, to continue this way. What you learned, the inspirations you received during these nights, how to implement them, stimulates your passion for change. This is the meaning of Ashura. Because the road ahead of you is long. Do not be despaired if you try to change yourself one or two times that you fail. Because the journey and the road is very long. And it is difficult, but yet, at the end of the journey, when you achieve this salvation and this change and this reforms in your life, you're going to enjoy it. If you have the willingness, you're going to enjoy this journey. Imagine if you travel to somewhere that you love. You are waiting to go, for instance, to an exotic location, exotic place. Even if the flight is 10 hours or 15 hours, you don't mind. You enjoy it. But if that place is boring for you, you can't even fly for 1 hour. It would be very exhausting and boring. So since the goal is the ultimate salvation of man, these are the goals of these sessions. We come to be inspired by Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam and his companions and his message. The journey is long, but you're going to enjoy it. If you have the willingness and the sincerity, don't stop. Do not stop. I said this to many of you privately in the previous nights. The change does not happen. God did not create a button and He said, push it and you will change overnight. There is no such magic in Islam. It takes time. It takes months and years. The journey is difficult, but yet rewarding. This journey of reforms, your soul, your family, and your society, it begins with our own selves. It begins here, in your heart. This is the beginning of the journey. Because man in this universe, man is central to God. Man is central to God's attention and care. You are the jewel of this universe. عبدي خلقت الأشياء لأجلك وخلقتك لأجلي. I have created, subjugated the entire universe only for you. God does not have any other creation other than you. Imagine a man, a family, husband and wife, they have only one son. And the man is extremely rich. When he dies, he has all his wealth, his business, he will bequeath it to only one son. He does not have another son. That son should be a very lucky one. No one is going to rival him. He is going to receive, inherit the entire wealth of his father. Allah says in this universe, you are the only important thing. عبدي خلقت الأشياء لأجلك. Nothing is more important than you. You are the most important. You are the center of God's care and God's attention. You have to realize that you are someone important. And the essence of man is what? The essence of man is his soul, his spirit. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. All religions, all messengers, all scriptures, they aim for one goal. All the messengers that God brought to this humanity, their drive, their incentive is only one. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. This sentence, this is the aim of all religions, not only Islamic religion. If you look back at Christianity, Judaism, even non-divine religions such as Buddhism, even Hinduism, the ultimate goal of these religions is to make man a true human being. True human being. One of the scholars in Islam, Sheikh Abdul Karim Al-Ha'iri, a very noble man, very learned man, he became the marja', the highest marja', the highest religious authority. He went to visit the shrine of Imam Hussein and he was telling him, "Oh Imam Hussein, today I have reached the top in knowledge. People follow me. But I want you to help me to be true human being. True human being." قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Amir al-Mu'mineen says your focus should be put on what? What is my focus today? Why God created me today? What is my mission today? Imam Ali says in Nahj al-Balagha, ميدانكم الأول أنفسكم إن استطعتم عليها كنتم على غير إن قدرتم عليها قدرتم عليها كنتم على غيرها أقدر وإن فشلتم عليها كنتم على غيرها أفشل وأضعف. Your first arena, your first challenge, your first place to control yourself is your soul. Imagine a football team, a soccer team in America. Football team. If that football team cannot win on his own land, on his own territory, winning in the stranger's land will be much more difficult. Imam Ali alayhi salam says you have to win within you first. ميدانكم الأول أنفسكم. You have to score the victory here with your soul. Once you score this victory, when you go outside, when you venture outside your territory with other people, with your family members, with your community members, it will be much more easier for you to score victory there. But if you fail in your own territory, your failing there will be definite. Certainly you will fail outside. Today if you cannot resist temptation yourself, you can't ask your son tomorrow, your family member tomorrow, to resist temptations. Begin with yourself. تصف الدواء وأنت أولى بالدواء وتعالج المرضى وأنت سقيم. In the Old Testament, in the Torah, there is a beautiful saying, beautiful quotation in the Torah. ماذا ينفع الإنسان لو ربح العالم وخسر نفسه. What would benefit man? What would man gain if he benefits and gains the whole world, but he loses himself? He loses his soul. قُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَلَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. The true loss, this is the way the Quran put it. The true defeat, the true failure, the true loss is when someone comes on the day of judgment, stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, losing himself, losing his soul, not being able to restrain himself against sin. This is the real loss. Not the one who lost his property and his wealth and his bank account. That is not the real loss. قُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. So try not to lose yourself. Try not to lose. Some people, they try to guide others, direct others, but they fail. They fail in their mission. Today some world leaders, reformers, they want to change the whole world to the positive, but they fail. You know why they fail? Not because they don't have military power. Not because they do not have a strong economy. Not because they do not have enough soldiers enlisted in their armies. They do not have a strong will. They do not have a strong soul and a spirit. He's a failure. A failure cannot bring reform to other people around the world. He can't. This is why in Islam we say we have to begin with myself first. Myself. This is my first step. This is my first step of reforms. Before I think about correcting my family members, I have to begin with myself. And then I go to my family members. Imagine the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. This is one of the world leaders and reformers, great reformers. The likeness of Yusuf alayhi salam, if we want to give an example about him, contemporary example today, you should imagine someone who is at the climax and the peak of his splendor, glory, greatness, power. But yet, this is not what he looks for. He looks for something else. Imagine if you find someone today, in his wealth and money, he can rival Bill Gates in America. He has more money than Bill Gates. In authority, government and power, he scores a landslide victory and he becomes the leader of a superpower, great nation. In his knowledge and wisdom, he's a landmark, well versed in knowledge and wisdom. In his inner beauty, and his morals and attitudes and behavior, he's exceptional. He's an icon of ethics. In his physical beauty and charisma, he's one of the most important celebrities in the world. Imagine such a person. He's missing nothing. He has everything he looks for. He has everything any human being aspires. Such a person was Yusuf alayhi salam at his time. Yusuf was like this one. And imagine at the peak of his power, glory, greatness, listen to what he asked God. In Egypt, back in Egypt. رب قد آتيتني من الملك وعلمتني من تأويل الأحاديث. You have given me the kingdom of one of the great empires, and that is Egypt. وَعَلَّمْتَنِي. You bestowed a special knowledge. You yourself. I did not go to school or teacher. It was the knowledge from you. وعلمتني من تأويل الأحاديث. فاطر السماوات والأرض. أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة. He has two aims. He has two requests. He aims for two things. Listen to them very carefully. They have nothing to do with dunya. He says, the dunya is not my focal point. فاطر السماوات والأرض. أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة. توفني مسلما, number one. And number two, وألحقني بالصالحين. توفني مسلما. Make me a true submitter to you. A true slave of you. He's the king. He's the sovereign. He's the leader. He's the most attractive man in the country. He's the most intelligent man in the country. But yet, he says, I aspire for two things. I want you to keep me as one of your true slaves, a submitter to you. تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا. And at the time of death, I want you to rejoin me with those elite, the elite of the community, الصالحين, the righteous, in the tafsir, أَلْحِقْنِي بِمُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. He has a soul, an awakened soul. He's a far-sighted person. So let's learn from him and others. Going back to the soul. How to reform your soul. What to do. The soul is a very dangerous zone, my sister and my brother. Very dangerous zone. You have to be very careful when you deal with yourself, with your inner self, with your soul. Very careful. A teacher advises his students at the time of a graduation. He writes him only one line. He says to him, لا تسئ إلى أقرب الناس إليك. Do not offend the closest people to you. The student asks the teacher, who's the closest people to me? He says, your soul, نفسك. Your soul is the closest thing to you. Closer to you than your father, your mother, your wife, your money, your car, your house, your business, your book, is your soul. Do not offend your soul. How one offends his soul? Nobody offends his soul. You know how do we offend our souls? Do you know how we betray ourselves? When we give in, أول المعاصي تصديق النفس. أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام. He says the very first step into committing sins is when you surrender to your own desire. To your own desire. تصديق النفس. Our soul has two dimensions, two parts. One is good, the other is evil. The one that is good, النفس اللوامة. لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس لوامة. The other part, the other dimension, the other side of it, which is the dark side, the evil side, is النفس الأمارة بالسوء. The soul, the dimension that is prone to evil, prone to evil. Prone to evil, always desires evil. So you have to be careful of that. Do not give in to your soul. Don't give in. What do we do? How to avoid this? There are two solutions. Two solutions. Before we go to the land of Karbala tonight, let's conclude with a message that we take home with us. Two solutions. One, the first solution is muhasabatun nafs, holding yourself into account, interrogating yourself. Yourself, you interrogate yourself, questioning yourself. Muhasabatun nafs. This is very important. Always to evaluate yourself. Where do you stand? Each night, before you fall asleep, review your day. Review what you did from the time, the early hours of the morning when you woke up for school, for salat, until you went back home. Just review it within 10 minutes. Have a glance. Have a glance at this movie. And Allah will enable you. Don't say, I forget, huh? You don't forget. بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. You can review yourself. And see what you did. See how much of it was bad and how much of it was good. By merely being able to hold yourself accountable, you are going to embark on the journey of goodness and salvation. If you teach yourself this tradition, this habit, holding yourself accountable, speak to yourself for 10 minutes. On the cell phone, I find some people, they speak for 3 hours on the cell phone. Useless. Waste of time. Speak to yourself for 10 minutes. Yourself is yourself and your soul is your friend. The closest one to you. Speak to yourself for 10 minutes. Evaluate yourself. Self-assessment. Self-assessment. Ask yourself, what did I do today? Today was Tuesday. I woke up at 6:30, inshallah, for the salat, I hope. And then maybe you went back to bed. Maybe again you went to the maqtal, to the school, to your shop. What did you do? Review. Muhasabatun nafs. قَيِّدُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ بِمُحَاسَبَتِهَا وَامْلُكُوهَا بِمُخَالَفَتِهَا. If you want to restrain yourself, sometimes if there is someone dangerous in the neighborhood, and this happens a lot in America, I don't know about Britain, but in North America when two people, they get divorced, and the wife feels insecure because of this dangerous man, bad man that she had, she goes to the police station and she asks for something called to the court, and she asks for something called what? Restraining order. Restraining order. They keep him away from her. They tell him, 25 miles radius, you can't approach this house, this neighborhood. If you come, you'll get arrested. Sometimes 50 miles. It depending on the intelligence of that great man, you know. If he's too intelligent, then 100 miles. If he's less intelligent, 20 miles. We need today to place restraining order, but against whom? Against ourselves, against the soul. النفس الأمارة بالسوء. This soul, the desiring soul, the tempting, the deceiving soul. Place a restraining order. واملكوها بمخالفتها. If you want to be a sovereign person, Amir al-Mu'mineen puts it at this beautiful description. خير الأمراء ما كان أميرا على نفسه. The best type of leadership, the best type of governor, president, sovereign, is the one who can rule and control, self-control, his own soul. This is the best mayor in town. The best mayor, not the mayor of London or Los Angeles. The best mayor is the one who can exercise self-restraint. Self-restraint and self-control. خَيْرُ الْأُمَرَاءِ مَا كَانَ أَمِيرًا عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. To be a sovereign, you have to exercise control against your own desire. Many of you for the previous nights, you asked me, many of you, brothers and sisters, you came to me and you said, I have a bad habit and I really want to quit this bad habit. I realize it's bad. I realize it's evil. But please help me. Some of these habits, it could be smoking, for instance. It could be drinking, God forbid. It could be doing drugs. It could be relationships, illegitimate relationships with the opposite gender. In fact, a very good man came to me, young man, a few nights ago. He said to me, Sayyid, I have a crazy habit. I think I am the only one who has this habit. What is it? He said, I can't stop dating the opposite side. I said, you are not the only one. Alhamdulillah, we have many wonderful people like you. You know, so don't worry. He said, please teach me what to do. He was sincere. I could tell from his eyes. He was sincere. I said, my dear friend, my dear brother, first of all, I thank you for your frankness. for your openness to come here. And this is a manifestation, an indication that you are going, inshallah, on the right path to come and share this with me. Honestly, I tell you, if you want to quit this habit of dating people's daughters and people's sisters in the community, think about the price you're going to pay. First, before you date, before you call to date, think for 1 second about the price you're going to pay. Think and reflect about the consequences and the ramifications of what you're going to do. إِذَا هَمَمْتَ بِأَمْرٍ فَفَكِّرْ فِي عَاقِبَتِهِ. Think about the results. For every action, there is reaction. We studied this in the third grade in physics. Every action, there is a reaction. And dating is an action. And it will have a price. And the price will be heavy. Let me give you this example. If you get a credit card and you have a limit for £10,000 or dollars on your credit card, but your income, your monthly income, your salary is only £1,500. This is what you get. Would you take the credit card, although they have given you 10,000, you know, the limit is 10,000. Would you take it to the marketplace and start shopping carelessly? And then at the end of the month, you receive the bill and the bill is 10,000. Who will pay this? Your neighbor? You go to your nice neighbor and tell him, Habibi neighbor, you are my neighbor for 5 years. Would you help me with this balance? Can you pay off this balance for me? You wouldn't do this. You wouldn't. Because you know your income is limited and you can't afford paying these bills. There is a price. There is a price for that. Likewise, there is a price for dating, my brothers and sisters. And the price is heavy. You want to know the price? If dating is unlawful and haram, especially the unlawful one, which has no aqd, no contract, no marriage contract. If there is no marriage contract involved in the middle, the price will be heavy. The price here is the violation of Allah's commands and rules. Violation of His rules. And just imagine for 1 second, that after going with this dating and doing what you want to do afterwards, you would not be able to go back to Allah. You would not be able to repent. Maybe you would not get the tawfiq, the blessing, the guidance of going back to Allah. Maybe Allah this time would never give you that. Because you keep doing this. You keep promising Him, this will be my last time, but you do it again and again and again. You reach a point that you would not get, because sisters, brothers, sins are like virus. The virus sometimes destroys and weakens the immunity system of the body. And the same thing, the sin weakens the immunity system of the soul, the ruh. And if that gets weakened, you would not find any reason why you should go back to Allah after committing sin. This is one. In addition to that, dating for men and women will cheapen them. Reduce your price in the market. Yes. You know, if you want to buy a car, if you have money, do you go for a brand new car or a second-hand or used car? If you have money, of course, you will go for the brand one. Because the brand new car smells good, nice, leather seats, you enjoy it. You are the first driver. But once you go to a second-hand car, it is smelly. It's not clean. You don't enjoy it. Does not have any attraction, splendor. It's the same with men and women. Because you will cheapen yourself, you will reduce your moral, spiritual value in the market of the humanity. And then in the future, when your family, your kids, they find out about it, they would not respect you. They would not honor you. So don't cheapen yourself. Don't do this to you, to yourself. Besides, let me tell you, brothers here, at the time of dating, just imagine for one more second. Imagine someone in the community is tampering with your sister, abusing your own daughter. Would you accept this for her? You won't. Your honor does not accept that. So before you go to people's families and people's homes and people's honors, think about it for the second. This is how we keep ourselves away, protected from sins. Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salatu wa salam, he says about the example of the man who saved himself because of the muhasaba, accountability. He saved himself. He says, in the community of Bani Israel, there was a monk, a worshipper of God, who worshipped God for 40 years. Then God asked him to offer a sacrifice. When he offered the sacrifice, God rejected his sacrifice. The man was offended. God told him, this sacrifice is rejected. It's not accepted by us. The man was worried. He did not blame others. At the time of failure, usually you put the blame on others. If you fail in the school, you put the blame of your poor mother, huh? You know that? Not on yourself. My mother didn't let me. My mother sent me for shopping. My mother told me to take the trash out. This is how we put the blame on others, on our mothers and fathers. But this man was an honest man. He did not blame anyone else. He turned to his own soul. He said, I blame no one but you, my soul. فأوحى الله إليه ذمك نفسك أفضل من عبادتك 40 سنة. Allah said, right now, within 5 minutes, you did something that is more superior to your all worshipping for 40 years. What was it? You realized what was wrong. The wrong was with your soul. And you realize that. You detected that. بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. You have to realize. Your own self. Before other people come to you and tell you, sir, this is wrong. You have to realize that this is wrong. Allah has provided you with this ability. So this monk, since he realized that it was him, he was insincere and he blamed his own soul, Allah says, this is a small gesture of you, just paying attention to what is wrong with you, is superior to all of your worshipping for 40 years. Brothers and sisters, let's pay attention to ourselves. And the other one, and I will conclude with this one, is to accept the exhortation, the admonishment, and the advice. When it comes from your brother or sister in faith, if they advise you, provide you with an advice, you have to be grateful and thankful to them. Don't get angry and don't get offended. Don't be self-conceited when someone tells you what you did today was wrong. You have to be happy and you have to thank him, and this is the best gift he can provide to you. Quran says, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا Mutuality. It is reciprocal. They advise each other. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ This is how the Muslim community should be. You should welcome people. A true believer in God is the one who goes to his brothers and sisters and tells them, please, if I do something wrong, come to me. Tell me about it. صديقك من صدقك لا من صدقك. The true and honest friend of you is the one who tells you about your ills, about your mistakes. And if you do good, he would tell you that was good. He would not mislead you. Don't befriend someone who always misleads you. Don't go with that person. Al-mu'min mir'atul mu'min. Today if I ask you, what is the most important item, piece of furniture in your house? What is it, you know? What is the most important item in your house? What is it? Can someone tell me? Don't tell me the bed, huh? And don't tell me the kitchen. What else? It's found in every house. You don't need a lot of money to buy it. Everyone can afford this. Everyone can afford this. Huh? No. You are missing the point. I tell you, you can find it in the bathroom, in the bedroom, in the living room. You can find it at the entrance of the house. Mirror. Wonderful. Salawat for the sisters. You know why the sisters, they answered? Because they carry it in their purse. If you open it. Mirror is important, brothers and sisters. Why it's important? Because you don't want to go outside with a bad hair, with an ugly face. You don't want to do that. You check yourself first at home and then you go outside. Islam says, this is regarding the face, which is good. But look at your heart too. Don't go with a bad heart, with an ugly soul. Check yourself against the mirror. Where is the mirror? Where is the mirror that I can see my soul? It is you, my brothers and sisters. You can come to me and tell me you did this wrong. You said this wrong. Al-mu'min mir'atul mu'min. So you have to have some good, intimate, honest friends with you who come and tell you a piece of advice. I'd love to stay with you forever. But something is waiting for us tonight. Something is really waiting for us. And this is Karbala. The family of Imam Hussein now are in the desert of Karbala there, in the darkness. No tents. Today the desert of Karbala has no tents. The camp of Imam Hussein is dark, subdued. Almost 80, 84 women and children are alone, lonely, fearful tonight. Fearful in this desert of Karbala. The only male survival is Imam Zainul Abidin Ali ibn al-Hussein alayhi afdal as-salatu was-salam. That is the only one. Let me take you to the desert of Karbala. Take, transfer your heart now. Let's go to Karbala. The family are waiting for us. Zainab is waiting. The kids are waiting. Let's consolidate them with our tears, with our hearts, and most importantly, with our intentions and our true promise that we are going to be the followers of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Zainab al-Kubra. We will follow their path. We will learn from their lessons. We will be with them. We would never leave them alone. Zainab, if you are alone in Karbala, don't think you are alone. Hundreds of thousands of hearts and minds are with you in solidarity, standing with you, Ya Zainab. We go to that desert, Allahu Akbar. It's a very tough night tonight. It's a very tough night. It's a very long, long night tonight. After the tragedy of Ashura, if you have a look now at the desert of Karbala, you will find it filled with bodies, decapitating bodies. Decapitated bodies of Imam Hussein and his companions, they fill the ground of Karbala, on the sand of Karbala. The heads are separated from the bodies, Allahu Akbar. It's hard to recognize these bodies. And then, who's responsible for all that agony, for all that pain, and for all that suffering? It's a lady, one lady. Her name is Zainab al-Kubra, alayhi salam. This is her night. This night is dedicated to her, to this honorable, powerful, and inspiring woman, mother, wife and sister of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Once the battle ended, Zainab alayhi salam, she started gathering women and children. They were scattered because once Hussein was killed, Umar ibn Sa'd, he declared in his army, he declared, أحرقوا بيوت الظالمين. Burn all the tents of Imam Hussein and his family. فَأَحْرَقُوا الْخِيَمَ فَأَشْعَلُوا الْخِيَمَ نَارًا فَفَرَرْنَا بَنَاتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مِنْ خَيْمَةٍ إِلَى خَيْمَةٍ وَمِنْ خِبَاءٍ إِلَى خِبَاءٍ. They burnt down all the tents. Tents became ashes. There is no place of refuge to go. There is no place to hide. There is no place to run. The only place they started wandering aimlessly in the desert of Karbala into many directions. Hamid ibn Muslim, he says, I saw a little kid. She was engulfed with fire. Where do you go? I tried to extinguish the fire. She was terribly fearing me. She said, Ya ayyuhal rajul, anta lana am alayna. He said, neither for you nor against you. Where do you want to go? She said, I want to go to Al-Ghari. Can you find me the way to Al-Ghari and Najaf? We have a grandfather who is buried there, who is a refuge for those who are in distress. Show me the way. Zainab alayhi salam started to collect all the kids in one spot. She didn't want to miss anyone. At the time of death, a group of Bani Umayyah commanders came to Umar ibn Sa'd. They said to him, Ayyuhal Amir, laqad qadayta alladhi alayka biqatl al-Husayn. Qadayta alladhi alayka biqatl al-Husayn atasha. You fulfilled your mission in killing Hussein thirsty. But tell us, Ya Amir, what is the guilt, what is the sin of those children and women here in the camp? He said, La bas, ihmilu lahumul ma. So a group of Bani Umayyah soldiers, they went, they filled the containers with water and they came, proceeded to the camp of Imam Hussein. Once the kids of Imam Hussein, they saw them, they started running because they were fearful. One of them shouted, Ya Atfal al-Hussein, qifu, qifu halummu ila al-ma. We are not coming to harm you. Come and drink, have some water to drink. They stood still. They did not move. One of them said, Ya Atfal al-Hussein, alastum utasha? Qalu bala bala wallah, walakin kayfa nashrab waqad qutila al-Hussein atshana. Indeed, we are very thirsty. Yes, we have not had any water for almost 2 days. But how can we enjoy the drink while our master, our leader Hussein, he died thirsty? أنشرب أنشرب لذيذ الماء حاشة وأهلي قضوا كلهم عطاشر وأهلي قضوا كلهم عطاشة وحسين الترب أنسى فراشة يا شخص الفرات الشان عذرك يموت السبط ضامي بكترايك لو تستحي ما فاض نهرك. This is one of the scenes. The other scene, Zainab عليها السلام. She said, she turned to her sister, Ummu Kulthum. She said, Ya Ummu Kulthum, every night, Al-Abbas, Aliyyum Al-Akbar, Al-Qasim, our brother Hussein, they guard us. They protect the camp. Today we are left only women and children with no men to protect. So this is my duty and your duty. You have to stand on one side and I will stand on one side to protect all those women and children. They stood on one side. Zainab, she turned to Al-Ghari and Najaf al-Ashraf. She turned to Al-Ghari, speaking to her father in the middle of the night. Boy, boy, Ali, ana jaljal al-layl. Boy, Ali, ana jaljal al-layl. Udarat Ali, ana al-zalim wal-khayl. والعباس والأكبر مجاتيل وحسين مرمي بغير تخسيل
والصبحنا والحادي شيل تقلي شسوي بهالمداليل نارك كبه على المهازيل وحدي أمس المسا يا حسين وحدي أنا متحير ويدي على خدي ما أضل ولي يا أخوي عندي
After that, Zainab alayhi salam, she started counting women and children. She found out that she's missing two of the children. So she started searching for them left and right. She came to the battlefield, Ya Mu'mineen. She found those two children, they had embraced one of the dead bodies and they were dying. They died there. Allahu Akbar. Khoya, khoya.
يا والدي والله ضيمة أنا صير من صغري يتيمة أثار الولي ناس خيمة خيمة فيا على بناته وحريمة
After that she missed الرباب the mother of Abdullah الرضيع she searched for her she could not find her suddenly she heard a very painful voice coming from the back of the camp she went there she saw her sitting putting her head on the small grave الله أكبر قالت هذه رباب قالت بلى بلى ما تصنعين هنا
قالت سيدتي إن ثدي در لبنا فجئت لأرضع الطفل الصغير
I now felt after I had some water I remembered I have a baby to take care of him a baby who died thirsty so I came here to sit next to his grave
يا ابني عبد الله لفرقاك صبري فينا ودرا فدايا باك يا ديان قل للحرمله وياك للماي حين شبحت عيناك نيشان بسهم عليك ورماك
One last thing, let me conclude with this. Zainab عليه السلام عملا بوصية الحسين Imam Hussein asked her not to leave the kids and women for any second after midnight. When all the kids, they felt they were so exhausted and tired, they slept for a while. Zainab alayhi salam, she stood. She came to the battlefield. She could not wait any longer because she has a brother there. A brother who's sleeping on the dust on the soil of Karbala. She went to the battlefield. تقوم من مصرع وتجلس عند آخر.
أنا أمشي وأعثر بالمطاعين مطاعين مطاعين أخوي حسين وين لما نسمعها زاد لونين يا زينب يا زينب زيد الحنين يا زينب أنا أخوك حسين
She went there, she sat next to his body. Ya Aba Abdullah, we are alone tonight. Ya Aba Abdullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Aba Abdullah. It's true that you gave me a responsibility, but this is too much for me as a lady, as a mother.
Ya Aba Abdullah, Khoya, ana ilak jiat bwahshat al-layl. أنا أشرب دمع وأقبع بالعويل تميل الرزايا منين ما ميم
One last thing and this is the most agonizing incident of that night of this night in Karbala Imam Hussein one of his kids she wakes up in the middle of the night asking for her father she's used whenever the time of the prayers comes to put the prayers rug for her father so Imam Hussein comes and stands for the prayers she stands at the time of the prayers
عما لقد حضر وقت الصلاة ما لي لا أرى أبي الحسين
where is my father this is the time of the prayers he's supposed to be here
قالت لها بني إنه في سفر يعني سفر الآخرة خويا أنا والله تمرمرت والله بناتك والمرمرا قلب خواتك هاي تقول عم وين عمي وذيك الصيح فارقني ابن امي يهيج لوعتي ويزيد همي